In a male-dominated industry, it can be quite a challenge for the most talented of women to be chosen for a top position. There are a growing number of female role models, and in a tough economy, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that gender is not a part of the fiscally responsible planning process.
Today's guest on the W3W3 Profiles of Industry Leaders is Kathy Ewing, Executive Director of the Colorado Software and Internet Association, also known as CSIA. Kathy was selected to head up CSIA. While there was a core group of people and sponsors, the organization was stagnant and somewhat fragmented when she took over.
Today, Kathy, with her vibrant team and active board of directors and a first-class group of sponsors, leads one of the finest and most useful organizations in the state of Colorado. Kathy is great at visioning, delegating, working with diverse teams, and is known by many who ask, where does she get all that energy?
Yeah. Kathy has been a frequent guest on W3W3 Talk Radio Show, so our listeners know firsthand that she has much to share. The purpose of the W3W3 Profile Series is to help us understand what really makes a leader, what makes them tick, why are they so successful, and what can we learn and apply to our own lives.
So, Kathy, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, that's super. Well, let's start out. Give us an overview of what we can expect from CSIA this coming year.
CSIA is really looking at the state of the technology sector and how can we individually help our members grow, which in the past we haven't really done. What we've tried to do is bring a community together, create greater representation. But now we're really tunneling down and saying, what is it that our members need the most in order to be successful in the future? And obviously, everyone knows what that is, right? It's money.
Yeah. Cash is still king or queen or a royalty for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're spending a lot more time looking at expanding the way that people can get funding, expanding our educational programs around funding, and looking at ways that we can try and allow companies that belong to understand what opportunities are out there earlier, including, you know, I've been sending people RFPs recently, which are requests for performance or proposals on various items, those types of things. We've really been focused on the whole revenue generation and on equity generation.
That's great.
Kathy, let's rewind a little and get a historical perspective of the experiences and events that shaped your growth. Who was a very influential person in your earlier life, and what was the key point you learned from that influence?
Well, this is going to sound funny, but it was my mother. I grew up in a ski town, so I didn't grow up in an area where there was a lot of business going on. But my mother came from southeastern Colorado, dropped out of high school when she was 16, got married, eventually went back and got her GED. After losing her son, she then went on to get her degree and become a CPA, and continued her, I guess, adventures in life from there. And I think the thing that I learned the most from her was, you can do anything as long as you're willing to put the work in that it takes to make it a reality. So that she took away all barriers for me growing up. I always knew, and I still know, that I could do absolutely anything as long as I'm willing to work at getting it done, at being the best at whatever that happens to be.
You know, I've heard a great deal about your mother, so that was really not much of a surprise for an answer.
Well, I have another one, which may be more of a surprise to you, and it's someone I've never met.
Who is this?
And it was Royal Poppy, when he took over Storage Tech a number of years ago. I was still in college, and Storage Tech was actually in bankruptcy at the time, and he did a complete turnaround. And I don't know if you remember this, but when they came out of bankruptcy, they had a large celebration at the CU Event Center. They had Alabama come and play, and then they did a huge fireworks display.
Yeah.
At the time he took the company over, I read everything there was to know, because what he taught me was that businesses are organisms. They live in and of themselves, irrespective of who is there. And if you treat them that way and understand that they have ups and downs, that you can make a company that is on the brink of death resuscitate itself and come back stronger than ever. And so I have never met him, but he was a large influence in my desire to be part of the private sector.
Yeah, maybe we can arrange a meeting.
That would be terrific.
Yeah. Now, Kathy, what experience in your education or your background influenced your values and your beliefs the most?
when I was growing up and when I was in college and when I ran the Association of Brewers, we did a number of outdoor education type events. Those things where, you know, you're in the wilderness and you have to rely on one another to get through the obstacle course, or you have to make certain that everyone in your group makes it over the three passes in order to get where you need to go. And I think that one thing that that taught me is that what you see on the surface of people mm-hmm. is not who they are. That each person has something that they bring to the table. And if you can find that strength that they bring to the table and allow them to really revel in that, understanding that they're going to have limitations in other areas, you can build amazing teams, absolutely amazing teams. But you have to be willing, number one, to put them in a space that they can grow in, but that really fits their personality or what their strengths are. And you have to be willing to accept that there are just things about them that you're probably not going to like.
That's an interesting point,
isn't it?
It
certainly is. Yeah.
Well, if you don't do that, you end up with everyone who looks just like you. And trust me, one person with a whole bunch of clones cannot move a company forward.
I thought you were making a remark about that I always say that I have a great face for radio.
No, I was making a remark about how lucky you are to have Pat with you.
Thanks, Kathy. Okay, so what challenge did you encounter that you had to learn to live with? And is there a lesson that could benefit our listeners?
I thought a lot about this because I've spent a lot of time in companies that have done really, really well and those that have struggled. And I think the experience that I walked away with the most was, number one, obviously cash is king. I mean, you cannot survive without cash. Mm-hmm. But what's even more difficult is when there's very little cash, you have payroll coming up, you have overhead, maybe you have bank loans due. Maintaining not only your ethics, in other words, doing the right thing all the time, but keeping your focus on what you're best at or what your business is really driving toward is extremely, extremely difficult. And I've been in a couple of companies where we've bought cash, basically. You know, we have purchased other companies in order to bring their cash into the portfolio. And in the short run, it was great, but in the long run, it always backfired. I have not one time seen where that type of marriage based on money has worked over the long haul. I had one company where we had an investor come in, and the investor attempted to walk out with the cash cow when the rest of the company was struggling.
Whoa.
And we're not talking large companies. We're talking small service companies. You know, we were all thinking, are we going to make payroll? How are we all going to, you know, manage our mortgages this month? In larger companies, you learn that, fortunately, I'd had that cash is king, and that you do not react fast enough. That when things start to turn south, no one reacts fast enough. We try and hold on for too long. And we don't re-identify what our target markets are fast enough. Mm-hmm. And we don't trim our staff back fast enough either. And what that does is it leaves you no money to market whatever your new product or service or whatever your one product or service that's really working happens. And Art Harrison gave me that piece of advice many years ago when I was working at the Association of Brewers, and we were on the uphill climb, but I knew that eventually we would be turning downhill. You know, he said, don't wait. You will never react fast enough. And he was 100% correct.
Yeah, Art's really some guy. You know, you also brought up a very interesting point. Maybe cash is king, but it does seem to have its limitations.
Yes, it does.
All right, now, let's look at an interesting point. You have been through so many different things. What would be the turning point in your career today?
I don't think there was one turning point in my career. There might have been when I left the university setting, thinking that if I stayed more than 5 to 7 years, I would be seen as more of a public sector type person as opposed to a private sector person. And I was very fortunate. I took a sales job. But my career has always had, I've always had two things in mind, no matter what position I've taken. Number one is you have to be in a job where you can be networked. Mm. That's the number one thing. You have to be known, get known, work on things, make a difference in your community. That is a number one. Because only one time have I ever applied for a job, and the job that I applied for happened to have someone that I knew as part of that team.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is, at least for me, that whatever job I take, that I manage others. I like working in teams. So, you know, when you enjoy business, I like the association business that I'm in right now, but I also enjoy private sector business. You just kind of have to decide what your personal goals are, and then the jobs become much less important.
You know, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, you mentioned the teams there a couple of times, and you're always bragging about the team of people that you've got working with you at CSIA, and that's it comes out in the programs that you conduct.
Why, thank you.
Kathy, what advice would you give a younger person who's about to embark on your career path?
My biggest piece of advice is to get involved, especially early on in your career. If you're working in a large company, figure out who handles the employee development team. And, you know, because they're always doing things that go across the entire organization. If you're working for a small company, you need to, you know, get on committees for networking associations that happen to be near them. You have to get involved because that's the only way you're going to become known. Mm-hmm. And when you start working on things that are outside of your particular job, when you spend that extra time, people notice. You certainly get noticed by others in the organization who are higher up. And oftentimes what happens in that situation is you get mentored by someone who is not your direct mm-hmm. supervisor or boss. It's someone who likes you because of the work that you're doing, and they're mentoring you. It takes on a much different role because there's no threat that you're going to be moving up the line over that boss who's immediately in front of you. They don't have that because you're not really in competition with one another in that sense. So, you know, I spent a lot of time and a lot of personal time getting outside of the organization and getting to know people. I worked at the university when I was straight out of college, and I can tell you I was on a lot of committees, and it took a lot of extra time, but it was worth it because in the end I was known by the chancellor. I was known by all the vice chancellors. You know, I was very active, and I was 20. You know, I was just out of college, and I was running a very small office group of 5 or 6 people, but all these other people knew who I was. I became plugged in very quickly.
You know, Kathy, I know some of your board of directors, and you're very proud of them, and they say, you know, not only do they ask that question, where does she get all the energy, they say, at the very least, she's a borderline workaholic. So what do you do to bring balance to your personal and professional lives?
Well, number one, I'm not a workaholic. I grew up, my mother was a complete workaholic, and I know what those are, and I am not one. Balance has never been a goal for me. So, in a sense, I don't try and bring balance to my personal and professional lives. What I try and do is have one life.
Uh-huh.
One life includes work and home. I work to stay connected. You know, I have DSL access at my house so that if 3 o'clock in the morning I want to do something, I can get up and do it. I carry a cell phone all the time. It's attached to me. And that way, if my son needs to get a hold of me or my son's school, he can, as well as if it's 6 o'clock at night on a Sunday and somebody has a great idea and they call my cell phone, generally they can have a conversation with me. And the other thing that I do is take vacations. And when I take a vacation, I trust the people that are here to handle the things that need to happen. And that's really important. I think that you actually walk away, that you get away from everything, you don't call in, you know, you don't check on things, that you're gone when you're gone. And we try and do that at least twice a year.
That's smart. All right, Kathy, for the toughie, what will your legacy be, and how do you want to be remembered?
Well, if there's one thing I've learned in life, it's that everything is transient. Mm-hmm. Businesses are transient, programs are transient, projects are transient. So I don't really think that there's any one thing, like CSIA will not be a legacy for Kathy Ewing or for anyone else, because just the nature of the organization is 20 years from now. It'll be a completely different group. I think one of the things I'd like to be remembered for is that we create, or anything that I touch, the teams that I work with, try and create that wow factor that sits up, makes you take notice, but also makes you really think about what you're doing, where you're going, and how you're approaching whatever problems or issues that you have. You know, I always think about writing business books, but I would never want to write a how-to book. What I want to write is a book about how do you ask the right questions in order to get the kinds of answers that you need. So I guess, you know, if there was one thing that I'd be remembered for, it's that the things that I touch or am extremely involved in, people walk away saying, wow, I really got something out of that, something that I didn't have before, something that I hadn't thought of before. not just, oh, it was really nice that all of us got to get together, which is nice, but is not enough.
You know, at this point, what I have to do is say, wow. Yeah, well, that's the wow factor. You know, Kathy, our W3W3 listeners will certainly benefit from your story, and they've been very curious, too. So thanks for joining us today, and we look forward to some more interviews.
Great. I look forward to it as well. Thank you.
All right. And by the way, Kathy, you certainly are a great role model for anyone striving for a leadership position.
Well, thank you.
The listeners on the World Wide Web Radio Show will be following your progress. This is Larry and Pat Nelson inviting everyone to check out our other learning channels on W3W3.com.